Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Bibles with us this morning, Romans chapter number 8, Philippians chapter number 2. Romans chapter number 8, Philippians chapter number 2. I'm going to try to give you what the Lord's laid on our heart, and I'll be honest with you, this message has been on my heart for some time, and then Brother Jonathan actually asked me if I would consider or if the Lord would let me preach on this thought, and I prayed about it and felt like this is what the Lord wanted us to do, and it's maybe going to be a little different this morning. And tonight probably we'll probably not get done with the message this morning, but I just want to be mindful of the Lord, and I'm honored to be here, but I want to preach on a subject this morning that is that I see that is troublesome among people everywhere I go in this day. Almost every church that I'm in throughout the year, no matter where I'm at, this seems to be an issue. And it's been an issue in my own life since 2011. I have battled things y'all just bear with me a minute. This church helped me get through one of the most difficult times of my life. I had a stroke in 2011, and y'all prayed. Your pastor called and checked on me nearly every day. You find out who your friends are and your toughest situations of life. And since 2011, I have battled my mind probably more than anything else that I've ever battled in my life. There is a story. There's a background story. And I feel like before we read the scripture, before we ever get in the message, you must understand why this message, I believe, was for me. But I believe the Lord let me have it for me, and I believe He let me go through what I went through. And it's not about me to put me here maybe today. I don't know. But I used to, and I hope you don't feel bad when I say this towards me. I would see people who battled anxiety and depression and things in their mind, and I would say mean things, not in myself. I would say, well, that's just weak. And I would say, well, that's a lack of faith. I would say, please forgive me. And then in 2011, I found out that you don't have to be weak and you don't have to have a lack of faith for things to bother your mind. And recently, in the last couple years, the Lord has allowed me and kind of focused me in on some things about the mind. The Scripture talks about the mind 139 times throughout Scripture. The mind is mentioned. I thought that was interesting. When something is mentioned that many times throughout Scripture, then certainly we must know and recognize that it's a very important to God that we recognize that word is mentioned that many times. Since 2011, I have dealt with depression. I've dealt with anxiety. Dealt with my mind, battled my mind in ways that I never dreamed or thought that I would battle it. I've had thoughts that I thought I would never think. I've said stuff to myself I thought that I would never say. I've probably said stuff to others that I thought I would never say. Thing is, our mind is something that we must guard with everything in us. Because of the day that we're living in, it is something that the devil is in all-out attack on our minds. It affects our hearts. Our mind is directly connected to our hearts. The Bible says, mine eye affecteth my heart. What we see, what we let in our eye gate, it affects our minds and our heart. Now, I'm not preaching this morning like I normally preach, but the Lord has burdened me so heavy. We have so many devices that is. By the way, I don't believe it's a mistake in Scripture where it says that we are not ignorant to the devil's devices. I don't believe that these things and they can be used for good or evil, just like anything else in your life. I don't believe it was a mistake that it was written in the Bible so many years ago that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices, and then they call these things devices. We have so many avenues. The devil hasn't changed his tactics. We know that still lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We understand that still the same tactics. It's still the same things that he used on Adam and Eve in the garden. Still the same thing that he uses today. But he has so many avenues of getting those things into our eyes, into our minds, and into our hearts. We must diligently guard our minds and our hearts as Christians. But I thought about Romans chapter number 1, and I'm just going to skip around today because the Lord's really working in my heart totally different. In Romans chapter number 1, the Bible talks about a reprobate people. And in verse 28 and verse 32, the Bible says, and I believe there is some reprobate minds. And I'm still in the introduction. I just want you to hear what I'm saying right now. And we're going to read some scripture here in a minute. We're going to go back to Romans 8 and Philippians 2. But I looked that word reprobate up. It means a person abandoned to sin, one lost to virtue and religion. And as I look around today and as I live in this same world that you live in, I can see a reprobate mind today. People who deny God, people who deny His Word, people who is described here in Romans 1, 28 through verse 32, the Bible says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You say, well, preacher, why would you read that on a Sunday morning amongst a group of believers in a good church like this? Because you're going to go out of this church tomorrow. You're going to leave, and You're going to face some people with reprobate minds. You're going to face some people that that are God deniers. You're going to face people who are described in Romans chapter number 1. And if you're not careful, you will let those people with those kind of minds affect your mind. I understand that we must live in this world, but we are not to be a part of this world. And we've got to keep our minds right. We must get our minds right before we can ever do that. I want to preach with the help of the Lord this morning on the mind. And probably again tonight. Because, like I said, I don't even know if we can get through all of it in one service. But can I tell you something? In my church, we have about the same size congregation that y'all have. And in my church, or our church, it's not my church, it's the Lord's church, but in our church, it's one of the things that I battle the most as pastor is folks that are battling their minds. They're facing things in the day that we live in that I never had to face when I was growing up in my teenage years. I'll just be honest with you, and I, again, I'm not making light of it because I've been there. I'll be honest with you, I had no clue what anxiety was. I had no clue what depression was, preacher. I had no understanding of none of that. I hadn't faced it in my family. I hadn't faced it in nobody that was around me and none of my friends. I did not understand anything about it. It was all new to me when I met my wife and her sisters. Battle with things, and those were some of the things I would look at my wife and I would say, well, she just needs to get a hold of herself. I don't understand that. I did. Ashamed of that now. Feel awful for saying those things. But can I say this? I want to thank the Lord for letting me go through what I went through. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it, the times that I get so low. I don't enjoy those times. But you know what it made me do? It made me have more compassion for the people that do battle it, the people that are battling it. Brother Jonathan, it was a learning experience in my life. I learned things during those days. And those days still come. And I never know what's going to trigger it. Sometimes it can be a situation at church. Sometimes it can be a family situation. And sometimes it can just be me. Sometimes I can let the things just start building up and building up and building up. Until finally, it seems like it just all comes. I found solace and peace. It was in the Word of God and behind the pulpit preaching. There's been days when I would go up to the church and lay down behind the pulpit. On my belly and just cry and talk to the Lord. Because I found peace nowhere else. There's been times when I crawled up in my wife's arms and there was nothing she could say or do but to just be honest with you, just ask her to hold me. And we're living in a day, Brother Jonathan, where preachers will make fun of us for wearing our feelings on our sleeves and admitting that we have weaknesses. Well, I'm telling you this morning, you're looking at a preacher that has a weakness. And it's my mind. I don't battle a lot of things, brother. You said it this morning during your Sunday school lesson. I was sitting there thinking how God lines things up. I don't battle some things that you battle, and you don't battle some things that I battle, but I promise you this morning, if we went around this room, there is a large number in this sanctuary this morning who are battling this, what I'm talking about right now. You know how I know that? Because I can tell by the look on your faces, I can tell by the nods of your heads, and I can tell by the tears in your eyes. And everywhere I go, and Brother Jonathan, what breaks my heart, and thank God for youth camp, and thank God it's coming up, and I'm trying to hurry, but thank God that youth camp's coming up, because youth camp always helps our young people, and they always come back encouraged, and they always come back helping me, they always come back helping our church. But what I'm seeing now, that it's not in just adults, but I'm seeing it in very young adults. Can I say to you young adults this morning, I pray for you. The things, my wife works in a public high school, and the things that you face today, the things that you have to battle, I am sorry that we have allowed the things to fly apart and come to, upon your lives, what has happened. I am sorry as an adult, as a 55-year-old man, and as a preacher and as a pastor, I am sorry that you are having to face the things that you're facing today in this life. Parents, make no doubt about it, we've allowed these things to happen. We've allowed them to happen. 139 times through Scripture, the mind. You guard your mind. Protect, sober-minded. What is sober-minded? It's right thinking. It's keeping your focus in the right direction. Your pastor and I talk during the building. We're building a new house right now. And brother, I told my wife the other day, I said, I feel like I'm losing my mind. It feels like I can't keep my mind focused anymore on what I want it to be focused upon. And that is a tool. That is a distraction of the devil. He comes to deceive, divide, steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he comes to do. How does he do that? Where does he start? He starts in our minds. And once he gets in our minds and he can draw our focus and our attention into a different place, that is exactly what he'll do, and he can get our focus and our attention somewhere else and on something else besides the Word of God, because the Word of God tells us that it is a thought and a discerner of the thoughts. Amen? And if he can get our focus and our attention somewhere else, that's exactly what he'll do, and get us. And if you're not careful, young people, and not just young people, adults, if you're not careful this morning, Brother Jonathan, I feel God in this place this morning. I believe with all my heart, God ordained this day. I do not leave my church on Sunday morning. I do. Do you understand me? I believe God has given us a word this morning. I'm telling you, he is trying to steal our minds, our focus, our thoughts, our attention away from the things of God and get us on the things of the world and the things of the devil. And friend, listen, he's trying to choke me right now. I'm telling you, God help us today, but we must get our minds right. You say, preacher, is it just here? No. No, it's everywhere. I told you, in the church this size, it would be astonishing to know the percentage of people sitting here this morning that are battling what I'm preaching about this morning. It's a sad day when we're wasting our minds on the things of the world, on the things of the devil. We're wasting them. We're wasting precious opportunities and precious time. And friend, we must get our minds right. I was thinking about this. I read this quote. One writer said this. He said, what we see and hear become thoughts. Thoughts can build up and become hidden actions. Hidden acts and desires soon become outer manifestations that destroy all that is good and all that we should love about life. Teen suicide's an all-time high. Not just teen suicide, but suicide as a whole. So, preacher, why would you talk about this? Because I'm telling you, the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. He's going to tell you things like this, that your life don't matter and that you're of no value. But I'm telling you something, your life does matter and you're so valuable. And you're so precious to God. You're so precious to Christ, our Savior. You're so precious to Him that He died for you. He walked up Calvary's hill and He hung and He bled and He died and He shed His life. But He proved to you. He proved to me. He proved to us how precious your life really is to Him. Don't ever let the devil, don't ever let your mind tell you that your life is not precious, that your home is not precious, that you're not valuable in this life. Can I tell you something? You're valuable to me. I need you. Your preacher, his wife, his family, this church, they need you this morning. They need you. Every one of you, you're valuable. Listen, when you're not in your place, He misses you. You're valuable to Him. You're valuable to your neighbor. It is important that you're here. Don't ever let your mind tell you any different. Don't ever let nobody ever tell you any different. You hear me this morning? If you're not careful, those thoughts will become actions. If we could call back every suicide victim that's ever committed suicide this morning, Brother Jonathan, 100% of them would say, I regret it. 100%. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? I really believe that this morning. I believe 100% of them would say, I wished I'd never listened to the devil. I wished I'd have never listened to my mind. It's time things are talked about in the church. Listen, our battles that we're facing, it's a spiritual warfare, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Listen, we think that the enemy is somebody else. We think the enemy is our brother and sister. We think the enemy, listen, friend, he said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness. I'm telling you something, He is the prince and power of the air. Make no doubt about it. We're wrestling principalities today. God help us. God help us to get our minds right. In Romans 8, I was going to read several verses, but just pick up with me. Let's read verse 1. Therefore, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, here's where I want to go. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life and peace. We must be spiritually minded today. Now, if we go to the book of Philippians, and we'll get there probably not this morning, it's 5 minutes to 12, but if we make it there tonight, we know the book of Philippians, just got through preaching through on Wednesday night through the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians is the book of peace. Talks about peace, peace, over and over and over. You know, almost everybody that I meet, that I talk to today, you know what they tell me they want? Peace. Peace. Brother Jonathan, I'm sitting before so many people, and they weeping and crying uncontrollably, and they sit on the floor and they weep, and all they can say is, I just want peace. I just want peace. And they realize, and they don't realize, and can I say something? You can get so far down that road that you can be like I was, because, listen, I was a preacher. I was a pastor. When all this started, I was preaching every Sunday, preaching revivals, preaching camp meeting. And listen, it's just because that you're reading the Word of God, you're studying the Word of God, and you're doing everything you know to do, does not mean that you can't get in that place, because I was there, I experienced it. Your mind, your heart, it connects. Listen, your spirit, when your mind gets messed up, it messes up everything. It's a proven fact. It's a medical fact. Preacher, I hope I'm okay. We sat down across the table from your pastor to eat last night. Some of you may know this, some of you don't. Preacher, I just feel liberty. I'm sorry if I get you. He's just had a bunch of tests. Some of you may know that. Some of you may not. Been having troubles. Stomach problems, a lot of issues. I said, preacher, what they say is wrong. You know what he looked at me and told me? Stress. Your mental situation can and will affect you physically. What's he got to stress about? I don't know. What's he got to stress about? I'm looking at it. Because he loves you. And he cares about your state physically. He cares about your state mentally. He cares about you. He don't just have a family that he has to stress over. You know somebody's got that many girls in his home, she's got stress. Say amen right there. You know he does. But he's got your family. He has you that he loves, just like he loves his girls, just like he loves his family. And he stresses over you. And he stresses over your home. And he stresses over this. His ministry. And it does affect your ministry when your mind's not right. It affects our well-being physically. I'm telling it again, we must get our minds right. We must. I preached this message and I titled it several weeks ago in a revival. I preached on the revival of the mind for two nights in a little bitty church on the backside of Lake James in Marion, North Carolina. Actually, it's in Morganton, North Carolina. Probably 50 or 60 people there. In that 50 or 60 people, almost 90%, Brother Tim, came up to me after the services those two nights, those Monday and Tuesday night, and said, "Preacher, that's what I battle the most. From 90-year-old little women to 10 and 11, 12-year-old children. You understand there is a spiritual warfare going on in our minds. I'm going to give you the rest of the introduction and I'm going to stop. It affects your heart. It affects your words. It affects your attitude. It affects your testimony. And it affects your relationships. Are you listening to me? I don't have time to preach all these. But it affects your everything. I wished I had time to go and read some just places in the Word of God where it talks about our mind over and over and over and over again. The only way we're going to ever have revival in our church, the only way we're ever going to get our spiritual state back where it needs to be, is we're going to have to get it right up here before we can get it right in here. Some of you have faced things incomprehensible. I can't imagine what you've seen and what you've dealt with, what you've faced. But I'm telling you, there's hope. I'm standing here this morning but Jonathan, I've got Life 360 on my phone now because there's a place in my life where I wanted my wife to know where she could find my stuff. I'm ashamed of that. But that's how low I was. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that loves you this morning that it can deliver you. I'm telling you, He delivered this preacher from a low, low, low place. And oh, I'm telling you something. I know what David was talking about when he said, "He brought me up, O soul, out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my foot upon a rock, and established my going, and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God." I'm telling you this morning, if you're here and you're battling and you're facing the things that I've been preaching on, I'm telling you, He's able this morning to deliver you from wherever you're at. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you've never been saved, I'm telling you, there's a, hey man, there's somebody that'll love you like nobody else will love you. Hey man, He'll love you in the darkest hours of your life. He'll love you like whenever it feels like everybody has abandoned you and walked off from you. He'll love you. He'll love you when you're bad. He'll love you when you're good. He'll love you when you're faithful. He'll love you when you're unfaithful. I'm telling you something today, that's the kind of God I serve today, and He will save your soul and pull your mind out of the depths and the clutches of sin.
And if you're here this morning, amen, and you are saved and you're battling the same thing I've been talking about this morning, I'm telling you, there's help and there's hope in Him today. It takes one thing. One step. Just one step towards Him. There's help. It ain't an appeal. It ain't a psychiatrist. Even though if you have to take a pill, take your pill. Amen. I've took them. Take them. Doctor says, and if it's helping you, take them. I'm going to get probably blasted on Facebook. Let them blast. I don't care. Are you listening to me? People's going to laugh at you. Hey, man, they're going to laugh at something in you or somebody anyway. And by the way, I mean, that'll help you if you'll just get to the place you don't give a rip what everybody else thinks. Amen? Are you listening to me? When you get to the, listen to me, there ain't but one opinion matters about you. My opinion about you don't matter. Your opinion about me don't matter. One day we'll stand before a righteous judge. That's the only opinion that's going to matter. I ain't even going to get to the message, Brother John. I believe God's done a work in here this morning. I believe there's help and I believe there's hope. You can find it right here this morning. You can get victory. Or you still live in defeat. When I realize that, it's a choice that I must make. The offer's there. The help's there. Come play softly, son. Let's all stand up.